Pretty succinct. Can you summarize the difference between a US person and a person?
Good question. Joe, if you could pull up the, can you pull up the definitions in 7701?
Without too much trouble, give me a sec.
But just briefly, for the longest time, when people read the definitions, they don't really read A, like 7701A. 7701A just simply says, unless distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, and then it's going to give you the number, like A1, person. Person, you know, shall mean and include an individual. There it is. And at the risk of being repetitive, I'll just say, you can see A, it says, when used in this title, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, dash one. So A1 is person. So what is the difference between a person and a US person? Person just simply means an individual, a trust, a state, partnership, association, company, corporation. So the only living being in the definition of person is what? Individual. All the rest of them are artificial entities. So the only living being is a individual. A person can be an artificial person, but an individual is construed to be a living and breathing human being. Now, to make the distinction between a US person and a person, Joe, let's scroll down to 7701A30.
I wonder if I can do a search to find it easier.
Oh, you can go back up.
Okay.
There's 33,
I lost
32,
there.
30.
There you go.
The difference between a person and a United States person. We've looked at 7701A1. A person means and includes an individual, corporation, partnership, trust, estate, and so on. So, what is the difference between a United States person? We can readily see that a person is an individual. A United States person is either going to be a citizen or a resident of the United States. So, is a citizen an individual for tax purposes? Is a resident an individual for tax purposes? I would argue and maintain no. But you can also see that the United States Congress put in domestic in front of partnership, domestic corporation, any estate other than a foreign estate. So, all of those United States persons fall within A through E here.
Well, Gary, what a lot of people will fall into the trap, in dealing with person, a United States person, too many people are going to sit there and say, oh, a United States person is a subset of person.
Well,
Go ahead.
I no, you go ahead, Larry.
Well, I think it's real important for people to, having the ability to engage in word searches is really important. And looking through the tax acts, hey, looking through the entire United States statutes large for certain words like person and seeing the word person in relationship to other words, a word can get meaning from its context. So if you saw a phrase like citizen or person in that context, a citizen would be different from a person for that particular for that particular act. Now, over my website, on that taxation page, I've got all of the old tax acts there. Years ago, I converted them to searchable text before You know, and nobody had any idea about what, any inkling that that ought to be done. But you can download all the old tax acts, 1913, all the way forward. And you can engage in searches for the word person through all of them. And it's real important. You know, I think looking at the tax acts, just having the ability to, you know, if you pull up, say, like the Revenue Act of 1918 or the Revenue Act of 1928 and did a word search for citizen, you know, that's real important because the tax laws, you know, they got to be expressed and clear when they deal with citizens. You know, it's, you can't imply a tax liability for a citizen. So seeing where citizens are used and how frequently in the old tax acts is real important because, you know, you'll find that that pattern that shows up in the old stuff will show up in the new stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you can also download, you can go over to, and I think I've got posted on my website, or at least it's on Joe's CD that he makes available to people. You know, a more recent, yeah, there we go, Venn diagrams. You can go through, you can download a Title 26 off of the government website, a PDF image of it. But the problem with those is that you got all these notes. And notes can go on, you know, you can have a section that's only half a page long, but then it can have 15 pages of notes. And so, you know, those notes are really important for educating you about how some section got developed. But when you're doing word searches, notes are irrelevant. You know, if you're wanting to find only a word as it appears in a certain law. So on Joe's CD that he has, I think there's a 2002 version of the Internal Revenue Code that has no notes. And so then when you do a word search for like citizen or person, you know, seeing there's a pattern to the use of the words inside the codes. You can see that pattern in the old stuff. You got to remember, hey, citizens, real, you can't imply a tax obligation for a citizen. So it's real important for a citizen to be mentioned. You know, that's a legal principle. You can't imply liability for tax as to a citizen. So knowing how frequently citizens use, where is it expressly applicable and where is it real clear the application of the tax laws to citizens? That's real important. And then you can make the distinction between, you know, if a citizen and is included within the United States person, it was, well, I forgot the date that the United States person became a term that Congress inserted in the code. Wasn't in the 60s, Gary?
62, I think. 62
yeah.
to
72. Yeah. Okay, you know, that's when they started bringing in person. So, you know, you could go through the Internal Revenue Law looking for citizen and seeing where something clearly applies to a citizen. You know, go through the tax code to see where something clearly applies to a United States person. And I'll guarantee you that when it deals with a United States person, you know, the geographical context, Gary, for the context in which a United States person is found, what are the sections like? Are they foreign?
United States person is limited to, from what I found in the code, Larry, is United States person is within the United States.
I know, but if it's going to be applicable to something, where what's the geographical area where they'll be talking about a United States person?
Well, typically, you know, I would say anywhere where the federal tax laws apply. But looking at it, you know, you're trying to get the scope of the whole world, and a United States person traveling outside the United States is no longer a United States person under the tax laws. So they would be classified as a qualified individual. And
9/11.
Don't think of September 11th, but it's just, you know, Section 9/11 explains a whole lot about how earned income works, how, you know, the source of the income, not necessarily making an 861 argument, but just from a standpoint of understanding how tight Congress made this section. And if you look at the like Joe so aptly put, Section 911A, it says, you know, exclusion from gross income. So if you know anybody that's performing services for a domestic corporation, a wholly owned subsidiary of a domestic corporation overseas, that exclusion from gross income is substantial these days. And so I would say, if you don't take this exclusion, you don't get it. So if you're traveling outside and to be performing services for a year or so, 330 days, and you don't take this foreign earned income exclusion, you're basically stupid. But I know you guys aren't stupid. You take it. But the aspect of a qualified individual, and I'd like to make this distinction, and if it confuses anybody, say, hey, I'm confused, and we'll cover it until we get it. But looking at this, let's scroll down to subsection D, little d, Joe. It's the definitions. There it is. Definitions and special rules. Now, we were looking at 7701 definitions a little while ago. And, you know, we read 7701A. It says, unless distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, this is where we want to really take a closer look. When used in this title, Title 26, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, a person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, da 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 da. Now, this, when used in this title, in that phrase, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof. Okay, now, Joe, let's keep that in mind, and let's go back to see Section 911D. It says, for purposes of this section, Congress is telling us right there that no other section, this definition will not apply anywhere else in the code for purposes of this section. Now, that's substantially different, significantly different than 7701A that says, unless distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible. So this, they're telling us right there that only for this section, you would be a qualified individual if, and I'd like to break it into three parts. The term qualified individual means, let's just go one, write down an individual. Two, whose tax home is in a foreign country. Three, and who is a citizen of the United States and establishes the satisfaction of the secretary that he has been a bona fide resident of a foreign country or countries for an uninterrupted period, which includes the entire taxable year, or B, a citizen or resident of the United States. Notice citizen and resident. Notice that A is only citizen only. And this is, we talked about this, oh gosh, two or three programs ago, maybe four, where the question was asked about citizen or resident as used in section 1.1-1A of the regulations, section one. And you don't need to pull it up, Joe, but I'll just kind of refresh everybody's memory with, it says, the code imposes a tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. Looking at 911D1B, it says citizen or resident of the United States. And everybody, there was a lot of people that were puzzled by it. So let's take it a step further. It says qualified individual. Let's start with one. Qualified individual means an individual whose tax home is in a foreign country and who is, and keep in mind that who is part, a citizen or resident of the United States. 1.1-1A says the code imposes a tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. So I believe 1.1-1A, in my honest opinion, the Secretary of the Treasury is pointing his finger right at Section 911D1B. And that is the citizen or resident of the United States that Secretary of the Treasury is talking about. So if we wanted to compare this, thank you, Joe. Section 1 of the code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. And then we can go on and talk about non-resident alien, but we're talking about citizens today. Section 1 of the code imposes a tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. If you were to take that phrase and drag it over to 911D1B, it's going to leave everything out of talking about Section 1 of the code imposes an income tax. They're just simply saying that a qualified individual is, number one, an individual. So a citizen becomes an individual when they're outside the United States. Does that make sense to everybody? Larry, does that, you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I followed a lot of the questions, not whether you and I understand our own arguments, Gary. The question is whether our participants.
I want to make sure everybody understands this, because this becomes very critical to the rest of your learning exercise, I believe. Yeah.
Well, hey, should we unmute Peter since he asked the clarification question and see he can be our guinea pig.
I think Peter asked, I asked him last time and he said he didn't get it.
Peter knows the trick though, you know.
Yeah, he's just playing.
Okay, we're putting Peter on the spot. Hello, Peter.
Okay, so what's your question to me again, precisely, Joe or Gary?
Well, that you asked, can you summarize the difference?
What you know the answer.
Okay. Well, not last time I didn't know the answer, but I think I understand now. So an individual circumscribes a group of people, but it only includes citizens of the United States when that citizen is outside of the United States.
Qualified individual, yeah.
Yeah, really subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That's a very specific term.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, hey, Joe, I wonder if it would be beneficial for us to go over to my website, pull down the Revenue Act of 1928, and just do a word search for citizen. Okay, go down to pull up the Revenue Act of 1928.
Uh-oh.
What? Oh, God. Well, I didn't realize that. Then this is, I've got this, I need to get it. I don't know whether I've got that link to that LegisWorks page or John Rowland's, you know, I had to go back and change things because I had them posted over on John Rowland's website. And then John's had some problems, you know, constitution.org. Gee, is there another one you can click on?
Which year, is there another preferable year that we can?
Well, no, just in, like, do some of the other later acts.
Like 32?
Yeah.
Same problem. I could see if I have on my computer the 28 act. Yeah. But let's see here. Wasn't prepared for this.
Didn't realize that the links were bad.
Well, looky here. Let's see. I got the revenue, 1928 Revenue Act.
Yeah. Will it show up on the screen?
I think so. If I don't have... My limit is 2 zillion things open on my screen. So let's see if 2 zillion.
You can't do 2 zillion in one.
Okay. Is that it?
No, that's the regulations. Pull up the Revenue Act.
Yeah, I don't have the 28. I mean, I've got 18, 21, 24, and then the regs start.
Well, then have you got something later? Revenue Act 32.
Yeah, but each one of these revenue acts, it has in parentheses Reg 77, Regs 86. So I guess those are just the regs.
Yeah, those are just the regs, not the
So I don't know. Gary, do you have it on your computer? Act is separate from.
Do what?
Does Gary have it on his computer saved? Then I could give him the share. Or
I don't think I have it.
I have it, but I can't open my Explorer with this screen the way it is. You know, I got to find some way to minimize it. Joe, you know, you should have on that CD that I sent to you that you make available to everybody.
Mike is saying he has it.
Mike. Yeah, but I don't know if I can get Mike to
participate.
Show his screen. Let's see. Try another avenue here.
You don't keep that disc as you send
it. Well, yeah, but I don't have it right here at my fingertips. I can let you guys keep talking and I'll go hunt for it.
Yeah, go hunt for it. But, you know, this is, you know, if I can't believe over on my website on the taxation page, I've had all the links. For a while, John Rowland had all the tax acts and the regulations posted on his constitution.org website. But of late, John has had some problems. You know, we've been really worried about John because he's getting in very poor health, and keeping up with his website and keeping things properly posted and keeping his website up, you know, like constantly being paying the required fees for URLs, that's been a problem. But, you know, John used to provide all of the old tax acts and regulations, so that I wouldn't have them posted on my website. They'd be posted on John's. But, you know, one of the things that's real important, yeah, truth attack. Yeah, that's it. Searchable tax acts and regulations. That's correct. But if you download, and this is the reason why I was thought it was real important for people to get from Joe that tax CD. You know, that tax CD, you got it all there on at your fingertips. You know, boom, you click on a link for a whole act, and then a whole act will come up.
Will the 26 act do?
What?
Will the 26?
Well, that's going to take a long time. You know, have you got something like maybe the 1939 in Troy, can you pull that up?
No, it's like all these 36, 38, 39, they all say it's all the regs.
I can't believe that.
What I have saved
here. Here's the point I want to make. The reason why people need to engage in word searches is you will come, you know, citizen expressly used in these tax acts, and you're seeing the principle in operation. Boy, you know, if it's going to apply to a citizen, it's got to be expressed, can't be implied. So seeing how the word citizen is used in the tax acts is an incredibly enlightening, important, educational, but yes. Okay, good. That's great, Joe. Now let's do a word search. And search for, now you probably don't have Adobe Acrobat, but with Adobe Acrobat, when you do a search, you know, a sidebar will come up showing all of the positive hits in whatever document that you're searching. But I'm imagining that all you can do is scroll from, you know, you up here at the very top, you can search, use your search term. Now type in citizen. And I guess it's going to get hit however it's used. Oh, okay. You got Acrobat.
Hmm.
So how many hits have we got it? And I imagine it's, by now it's...
It says 53.
Well, that's volume 53. But how many?
Oh.
Found on 35 hits? Different pages, it says.
Okay. Well, let's go through and let's just take a look at them. Now, our listeners can download the Tax Acts, or they can get from Joe the CD that has all of the old Tax Acts and regulations on them, plus a bunch more material. But, you know, if you, as you go through it, you'll find out this has been something this is one of the reasons why I created the Word Searchable Tax Acts. What you will find is that when you take a look at the citizens, wherever the word citizen appears in the tax acts, why in the world is it always having some direct relationship to, hey, Joe, that's tax imposed. Go to section 4 or to section 11. Okay. Here we go. Now, hey, section 4 does mention citizens. Individual citizens of any possession of the United States who are not otherwise citizens of the United States. Individual citizens of the United States are domestic corporations satisfying the conditions of section 251, which is citizens in the possessions. Now, why when you go through an old tax act, looking for all the positive hits, you know, there at section 11, the taxes imposed upon individuals. But when you go through the tax acts and look at citizen, this is what's real important. It's an educational exercise. You know, here you got Adobe Acrobat. Every time you got click on one of these links, oh, you happen to pull up the one that's already got the yellow highlighting. Going further down, hit the next hit. Let's. Oh, this is talking about not a citizen. Okay, go a couple more down. Oh, this is credit for taxes. But, you know, a citizen expressly gets credit for taxes when he's paying taxes to an insular possession. Hit another one, blow it further on down, Joe. Oh, section 212. This is granting exemptions for, another country, granting exemptions for foreign shipping. You know, if they give an equivalent exemption for ships owned by citizens of the United States. Now, that's in reference to ships engaged in foreign commerce out on the high seas. But, you know, when the point I want to make is that once you sit down and you take a look at the positive definite hits for citizen, you know, in the tax acts, and, you know, you may have to study some of these sections, but, you know, where citizens are talked about, why is it always in reference to something that they're doing outside the country, outside the United States, especially in the insular possessions, just like section 4 talks about. And that's the reason why it's so blooming important for people to look at the old tax acts and the regulations. And you can go through the regulations. You can do word searches on the regulations too.
And do your own research.
Yeah.